You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com. Annihilate.
Psych, it's Rob Blue. That's right, I'm hosting at least for the next 2 days. And depending on where things go, maybe a couple days after. But for right now, I'm your host at The War Room. Thank you for joining me. You can see I've got a massive spread of articles. Yesterday, it was actually last night. When did I post it? 9:45 p.m. I was sitting on the couch perusing through X, and I found a positive about the war in Iran, which may turn out to be a bunch of other positives. But right now, one of the positives is Baltimore says Iran war causing fluoride shortage for water system. And, of course, they're framing it as a bad thing, that everybody's teeth are going to fall out if they don't put poison in their stomach. But we're going to cover that probably in the third hour. I've got a long screed on fluoride, including an interview that Alex Jones did with Dr. Paul Connett. Oh, it was probably 2012, 2013. This is an old one. And like I said, anytime I get in here, I'm going to pull out something from the vault. Also, it was interesting, a friend of mine texted me a picture. They were at some show down in Austin, and sitting in front of them was the original Turd Blossom, Karl Rove. And I'm like, oh, I got to find the times when Alex Jones confronted Karl Rove at the airport in Cleveland. At one point, he called him TB. He said, I'm your friend, TB. So we're going to get into all that, but let's jump into Iran right now. BBC's reporting, Trump says Iran talks could resume over the next 2 days, says U.S. says ships have been turned back in the blockade. So I got a series of clips. These were on Fox News earlier today. They had Mike Waltz on, who's the ambassador to the U.N. And also, Peter Ducey was putting out a Trump it was a True Social tweet that Trump put out saying, hey, to a New York Post reporter, stand by in Islamabad. We might have something here in the next couple of days. So let's just go with clip one first. Here it is.
That he told a New York Post reporter on the phone just now to stay put in Islamabad near where the Pakistan peace talks are taking place. The quote is this. The president said, you should stay there, really, because something could be happening over the next 2 days, and we're more inclined to go there. It's more likely, you know why? Because the field marshal is doing a great job. That field marshal is the Pakistani official in charge of the talks, General Asim Munir. The president of France also poking and prodding at both sides, the U.S. and Iran, trying to get them back to the negotiating table soon. He writes, it's equally important that the Strait of Hormuz be reopened unconditionally without restrictions or tolls as soon as possible. Under these conditions, negotiations should be able to resume quickly with the support of key parties concerned. But the president is not super sympathetic to European wishes right now. This morning he said, Europe is desperate for energy, and yet the United Kingdom refuses to open North Sea oil, one of the greatest fields in the world. Tragic. Aberdeen should be booming. Norway sells its North Sea oil to the UK at double the price. UK, which is better situated on the North Sea for purposes of energy than Norway, should drill, baby drill. It's absolutely crazy that they don't.
And you can see there the price of crude's at $92 right now. They do say later in this collection of clips that they're expecting the price of crude to peak in a few weeks and then start going down after that. That's if there's no more fighting. And right now it looks like it's paused at least. A couple of destroyers did go through the strait to get to the other end, and they're blocking ships on either side. That's what they're saying. We've also heard reports that at least two Chinese ships may have gotten through. So it's going to be interesting. But there you see sort of what Trump is doing. He's showed the videos of the sea maps. And guys, see if y'all can find that. Is it right now? Is it at 88 right now? So it's dropped even from then. From when that news was posted this morning. So it's gone down a little bit. You can see there it is on April 14th, right there above 90, and then it drops down. Yeah, interesting. So it happened. That happened later today. So it's Will we see the change in gas prices? No, it doesn't seem like that we're going to see the change in gas prices doesn't change with the oil. It seems to go up and then kind of taper off. It'll take a long time to go down. So in Austin, I think last week the price was at $3.99 at the place near the office, and now it's at $3.79. So it's down 20 cents, but it did that in one day. So I don't know how they're – I think they're, you know, cashing in, obviously. When they see the price go up, they're like, oh, we can make a little money here. And then when it starts going down, they start competing with each other. Like, I'll drop it down lower, then I'll drop it down lower, then I'll drop it down lower. All right, let's go to Mike Waltz on the – in fact, actually, let's do this. Guys, put up the number next segment in about 20 minutes. I want to take some of your calls, 877-789-2539, on what we're talking about here in Iran. I'm going to cover some other things, a little bit on Viktor Orban in Hungary and what's going to happen now that they have a new leader who seems to be more EU-centric. I predicted a few days ago that they're just going to open it up to mass migration. And, of course, their new leader's like, well, we're not going to open it up totally yet, but, you know, we're going to leave our fence up. That doesn't mean anything. I mean, I think the jig is up for Hungary. They're going to become like the rest of Europe. So, phone number one more time, 877-789-2539, 877-789-2539. And what we're going to do is I'm going to take calls in the second long segment of this hour. And then we're going to have Michael Cargill on to talk about the shooting that took place in Austin. In East Austin, with a couple of his employees were involved in it, and so then we'll take your Second Amendment calls then in that segment. So if you want to talk Second Amendment, call in next hour, and then the third hour, I'm going to put on my fluoride and health presentations, and then we can talk about anything else kind of on the table. But for now, I'd like to hear what you're kind of the way it looks like the Iran war is shaping up to be is. Trump is now closing off the Strait of Hormuz for Asia, India, Europe, for these guys to get their energy. And then saying, hey, look, I don't know if you guys found it yet, but he put it out a couple days ago, and it was a video of showing all the tankers and all the ships, and they were all going to the Gulf of America to fill up in Texas and Louisiana. And I actually pulled this up a while back, when they were talking about how important Karg Island is. And if you go and look at Karg Island from above, you can do this on Google Maps, just type in Karg Island. You can see it's got about 50 of those ground tankers that they fill up with oil and keep it there until it's ready to be pumped into ships. You know, you could go also look at Westlake, Louisiana, which is near where I used to live in Sulphur and Lake Charles. And there's probably, I don't know, three times as many tanks like that in just one little area of Louisiana that is putting out probably 3 to 4 times more oil. And then that doesn't count the rest of the Gulf Coast when you go into Houston and Texas City and then moving along in other areas on the coast where there's a lot of refineries. And, you know, they've set it up for since the 40s and 50s, they started dredging these canals for tankers to go through. So we definitely have way more capacity than what Iran is capable of. And so Trump is telling Europe, hey, go to your North Sea, start doing that. It looks like Canada in Alberta is going to vote for independence at some point. And they have massive oil reserves. You've got our oil reserves. You've got Venezuela. He's really wrapping up the fossil fuel energy sector with this war. Obviously, I think it was done on bad pretenses. It was done, a sneak attack. I don't think they really thought it through. And I think they were following Israel's lead, who said, we're just going to attack because, you know, their first instinct is to attack. So 121 empty oil tankers heading to the U.S. So that's going to be interesting. So I want to hear your calls on that. We got Baker in California already saying Trump blew his goodwill. You hang tight. Melania Trump. On the list, Charlie was on. That'll be interesting. We'll talk to Lynn in Ohio. We got Tim in Seattle. InfoWars Army and Bill Gates. That's Tim who goes out there and bullhorns. Tim, maybe get when we go to you, maybe have some, if you're bullhorning out there now, maybe come in with like Maybe we'll go to you with like 10 seconds of bullhorning or so before we bring him in. Maybe we'll do that, guys. Look at his X post, see if he's live, so we can even go to some of that. But let's go to Mike Waltz on the Strait blockade and what that means right now. He's saying that no ships have gone through. It looks like China is saying a couple have gone through, but here's what Mike Waltz, ambassador to UN, is saying.
Yes, the vice president said they've laid out a very basic framework for Iran to behave as a normal nation. Number one, stop supporting terrorist proxies. Number two, you cannot have a nuclear program, as not only President Trump has said, as the United Nations has said in resolution after resolution for decades. That's both enrichment and highly enriched uranium. And you have to open the sea lanes. And that's this latest action from the president that says you cannot hold the entire world hostage. You cannot, even though, you know, this Iranian regime started its existence by trying to holding Americans hostage. You can't hold the world's economies hostage. He has flipped the script. You have tremendous naval assets there. And the Central Command just put out its statistics in the sense of it is turning Iranian ships around. Iran doesn't get to choose the winners and losers on the global economy. The United States will do that until all ships are open. So no ships come out or all ships come out.
You know, the Strait of Hormuz was the biggest trump card that Iran held. That was the biggest point of leverage. The president seems to have taken that away from them. And if he can open up the rest of the strait by using the two guided missile destroyers that are there now and mine-clearing equipment that we have got, and maybe some that other countries have as well, I mean, the Iranians have no choice but to come back to the table.
We put our two destroyers through. Minesweeping operations are ongoing, mm-hmm. John, and you're absolutely right. What President Trump has done is taken that leverage, taken Iran trying to hold the entire world's economies hostage, has taken that off the table now with this action. I mean, I can tell you from the United Nations standpoint, live in a world where two parties have a conflict, regardless of whether you agree with the conflict or not, and you have, I don't know, a country trying to shut down the Strait of Gibraltar or the Bering Strait or any other international waterway as leverage in a conflict. We've taken that off the table, and that isolates the whole issue mm-hmm. to what President Trump has been consistent on since the 1980s, even since before he was in politics. We cannot have a genocidal regime with its finger on a nuclear button.
Yeah, and you can find that old, there's an old clip of Trump talking about Iran back then. And, you know, to be honest, what did Obama do? Obama gave him money. What did Biden do? Oh, Biden gave him money, which we call him a Biden. Before that, it was always, you know, just kind of placate these guys since they, you know, they basically, so you got to go back to when we funded their overthrow and put the Shah in, and then there was a coup there, and they kicked the Shah out, which was wrong. That was totally wrong for us to do that. And that's what happens when we, and you see how that changed with Venezuela. They just removed the leader and said, hey, you guys play ball. We're going to come do this again. Now, yeah, if you're going to be a big bully country, you can get by doing that. But at some point you have to start negotiating in good faith. And are we negotiating good faith? I don't know. That's going to be, that's what we're going to see here in the future. So I kind of want to go to Baker in California real quick to talk about how Trump blew his goodwill. We got about 8 minutes, and then I'll get to these clips again. Let's go to Baker in California. I kind of like I want to hear what he has to say. Go ahead, Baker. Welcome.
Rob, you welcome. Thank you. Listen, man, you know what's crazy is that Trump had such momentum because we know who our enemy is. It's the Democrats. They openly hate this country. They openly want to collapse and overwhelm the system. So that's a given. And I think a lot of people are really reluctant to turn against Trump because they feel like if they go against Trump on this, they're letting the Democrats win. And so it's like a knee-jerk reaction because he's our only dude in the arena right now. So, and like all of the independent voters, all the people who never voted for Trump gave him a chance. He had, I mean, dude, that electoral map is like so famous. And even in Democrat places, and you know, when we saw Doge, we saw everyone freak out on the left, but it wasn't like It was more popular than it seemed, just because it got it to the heart of a lot of the corruption. And I think when he got rid of that is kind of when it started to go downhill. But, I mean, dude, people were so stoked on Trump. Even, you know, all the people that hated him, they weren't the ones in the majority anymore. The media was seen as lying. And all of the traits that were good about Trump, you know, being dismissive of the fake news, now it's bad because I think he's doing something where we need to have a real discussion. And it's like, oh, you're just the fake news trying to – do you know what I mean? All of the strong qualities of Trump are now is like – are terrible.
Yeah, it's a lot
of
there's a lot of knee-jerk reactions, and I think a lot of this stuff, like I said before, like a lot of his economic policies, I don't think we're going to see the fruits of those bear out for another year or so, because it takes a long time. You know, you got a big tanker and you're turning that thing around. It's not just going to turn, you know, it's not going to do a hairpin turn. You know, you're not going to drift into it. It takes a while for this stuff to actually happen, and I think we were seeing that in 2020, and that's why they brought in COVID. Well, it seems like this is the next thing. Let's do this and try to cause an energy, you know, crisis across America. That's what looks like is trying to happen. I you know, I wasn't in the meetings. The New York Times, I think Megyn Kelly was quoting the New York Times saying they had gotten this info that Trump was being led on the nose by Bibi. But then other people in there are saying, no, that's not how it happened. They brought the information out and Trump decided to act. I don't know if we're ever going to know the truth on that or not. And honestly, at the end of the day, that kind of stuff. What does this say? Had presented George, with plans to attack Iran. Yeah, all refused, but before Trump agreed. So that's interesting. But now you look at all that. It looks like we got a lot of traffic of people coming in wanting some oil to bring to market, and that's a good sign for us. The rest of the world's kind of getting screwed out of this. But also, Trump told him before. He was in there in the UN telling Germany, hey, you better stop depending on Russia. You're going to have problems. And they're sitting there laughing at him. And now what's wrong with Germany? They can't get energy. So because they basically got rid of all their nuclear reactors and they think windmills and unicorn farts are going to power the country. And it's not. Now they have like classes to dance in the wintertime to keep you warm. So that's the mindset you're dealing with the rest of the world, at least the west of the Western world. They have this kind of pie in the sky, you know, climate change stance on everything. So it's ridiculous. Thanks for the call, Baker. I do agree. Trump did lose a lot of goodwill. I mean, we saw that one. It was an article, guys. See if you can find it. It was like a $2 or $3 trillion in payments that were going, that Doge uncovered, and they were just going to some account, and they're like, oh, we don't know where it went. We have no idea. Yet the IRS can find every little time you took a fart underneath in the swimming pool, and a little bubble popped up, and they're like, oh, we identified that bubble, you know, but they don't know where this trillions of dollars of money just like leaked out of the giant boat. Like it's like a Titanic iceberg hit, you know? Oh, we can't find that though. That's how you know this whole game is rigged and it has to. Okay. 4.7 trillion. I'm sorry. Doge says it found nearly untraceable budget line item responsible for 4.7 trillion in payments. Now, how is that untraceable? How could that be untraceable? We have a system, nearly untraceable. And when was that? That was February, a little over a year ago, we found a giant hole in our hull, just, you know, bleeding money everywhere. And it was often left blank, meaning traceability is almost impossible. Well, then how did it get to go out? Like, how is there not a safeguard? Like, and I guess they put that in afterwards, but it's like, okay, 4.7 trillion. Then you go look and see about that time when these dates happen, who was putting money in their accounts? And you don't have AI that can find that? Yeah, right. Oh yeah, AI doesn't know now. AI stupid now. Right. But everything else AI good. So totally ridiculous, and that's what we're dealing with. All right, let's just go to this clip. This is the future. This is clip 4. We'll skip obviously by closing off the strait, they're putting pressure on Iran because that's really the only way they can get oil out and make money. And if they can't, China's trying to put pressure on them. China's now going to have to start buying oil on the open market, not getting deals from Iran. So let's go to the future after Iran, clip 4.
Iran wants to remain a rogue regime. And if the same regime is in place, can you ever have real peace and stability across that region, or are they going to continue to try to screw with everybody there?
Well, they have their radical actors, no doubt, who solely exist to export the revolution. And as I pointed out to the ambassador from Iran at the United Nations, name me a country that is better off because of Iran's export of terrorism. Certainly not Lebanon, certainly not Syria, certainly not Yemen, Gaza, or anywhere else. But we do think we're dealing with some rational actors. They have to deal with the clerics, and they have to deal with the Ayatollahs. But look right across the Gulf. Look, and this is what I point out, too. Look at Dubai. Look at Manama. Look at Kuwait City. Look at Riyadh. I mean, Oman, they are exploding. In terms of growth and a better life for not only their citizens, but for the next generation. We'll see if we don't box them in to
that.
Yeah, I mean,
the one
path.
Thing that's holding that whole region back is Iran.
Well, and for so many people who talk about the pivot to Asia, you know what? When President Trump finally solves this problem that sucks us back in the Middle East over and over again because of the violence that Iran exports, then we'll be able to really focus on the rest of the world.
You know, I don't know if you remember in Trump's first term, his first visit outside of the country, he went to Saudi Arabia and he put his hands on the orb, which has been made into many memes. But if you look at the rest of the Middle East, except for Yemen, that's kind of an outlier. But the rest of the Middle East is like, look, we're ready to come into the 21st century. We're going to do a better on human rights. They're not going to be perfect. I mean, these are old systems that are going to take a while to change. They're not going to, like I said, you're not going to drift the tanker into a new world. And so it's going to take time for these to change. But you can see all the other countries have changed except Iran. And then you got Yemen. And then, obviously Israel is going to be a problem. They're going to be looking out for their own interests. So, Tucker said it the other day, cut complete ties with Israel and just treat them as we treat other countries. And that's where they need to go. They don't need to be this best buddy terms with us anymore. But, you know, we do use them to launch attacks for or have them launch attacks for us across the Middle East. People say Israel controls us. I think they control some of our politicians. But at the end of the day, you know, they're a small little nippy chihuahua and we are the big bulldog, whether people believe that or not. You could see the other presidents weren't agreeing to go attack, but Trump did because he saw something in there, and this is something he's been looking at, you know, since the 80s, if you look at those old videos of him talking about it. So when we come back, we're going to go to your calls. We got a great show. Michael Cargill is going to come in here talking about the Second Amendment, and we got a whole bunch more in store. Stay tuned. You're watching The War Room. I'm your host, Rob New. You can follow me on X at Dews News, DewsNewz.
We have it all. Ultramethylene Blue, we have the best. The Shilajit, we have the best. The Turmeric, we have the best. We have the best spike protein, pro-cardiovascular, ultimate life force. The best Irish sea moss gummies and capsules. Incredible. Research for yourself. We have the best at theultrastore.com. And if you buy any of them, they're 50% off when you sign up for AutoShip. Cancel anytime. And you guarantee it never sells out. They hold it back. You get 50% off on future orders. And anybody that downloads for free the Android or the Apple app, you find both links to it at alexjonesapp.com. It's free. You get an additional 20% off at checkout on top of that. Now, I had to convince Pitley to do this. They were a little skeptical because they like to give you good deals, but not this good because it's loss leader when you use the app. But because we have an 80%+ reorder rate on things like Ultramethylene Blue, it's actually working because you get it, you love it, and you keep ordering. So these are great products. I want to induce you to try them. You know our information is hardcore. Try the products. It's just as hardcore. 1776 worldwide. We will crush the 1984 globalist system. God bless you all.